The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of December, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Along the way, Dave Dickey will bring you the agricultural news, including this story. A leasing company says Verisun has been using 1,800 rail cars and not paying for them. And this story, too. The Chinese economy, of course, is slowing. Leaders there are concerned enough to change public policy. Dave will have all that in a moment, and then we'll hear from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He'll help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit finished the nearby contract Dece at 492.5, 20 and a quarter higher. The March at 509.5, up 20, and July at 535, up 19 and three quarters for the day. September 557.5, up 19 and a half. Kansas City wheat 15 and three quarters higher at 15, or rather 515 and three quarters. Minneapolis Grain Exchange at 617 and three quarters, up 31 and one quarter. From the corn pit in Chicago, December futures for the afternoon at 326 and three quarters, up 14 and a half cents. The March at 342, 14 and a quarter higher. The May at 352 and three quarters, up 14 and a quarter. And July corn at 363, 14 and a half cents higher. December at 387 and one quarter, up 15 cents. Jan beans at 829 and a half, finished 16 and a half cents higher. The March at 834 and three quarters, up 16 and a half. May at 844 and a half, up 16 and three quarters. And November soybeans, 18 cents higher at $8.52. December bean meal at 250.40, up 4.90. December bean oil at 30.59, up 105. Mercantile exchange finished the feeder cattle up $1.37, and the hogs 40 cents lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures at $42.75 a barrel, 68 cents higher. The February up $2.04 at $46.70. The January ethanol, $1.48.2, up 2 6/10. Natural gas at $5.66 and unchanged, or rather $5.66 even, is up 8 1/10 for the day. And the RBOB gasoline at 96 1/2 cents, up 2 8/10. January heating oil trading $1.40, down 3 6/10 for the day. January propane unchanged at 58 7/10 of a cent. And the gold futures at $807.10, up $34.70. Dow Jones Industrial Average on this afternoon at 87.12 is currently trading just about 20 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 85.5 is down 0.297. And the CRB index today at 221.94 is up 6.29 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own meteorologist Daniel Pounder. Today, he says, in northern and central Illinois and northwestern Indiana should be mostly sunny. In northeastern and central Indiana, mostly cloudy. In the south, mostly cloudy. Isolated showers tapering off. Highs ranging from 20 in far northwestern Illinois to 38 in the far south. Tonight, Dan says, in northern and central Illinois should be clear to partly cloudy. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows this evening from 14 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 27 in the deep south. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 25 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 43 in the far south. Tomorrow evening, the extended forecast. Cooler weather will continue on Friday, along with a chance of scattered light snow showers and a few flurries. Strong southerly winds, though, will kick in on Saturday, and that'll send a bit of warmer air our way.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Marker Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon, recapping the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this day. Wheat futures were about 20 cents higher, corn futures up 14.5, and the beans up just a bit more than 16 cents on the afternoon. Cattle futures were down, up $1.37, and the nearby live cattle feeders were up 80 cents at $87.35, and the hog futures finished lower. I'm down 40 cents in the nearby contract. On the line with us to take a look at all those numbers and much more before the USDA reports tomorrow morning is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. A great afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. Nice to talk to you.
Well, recap the numbers from Chicago and then give us a forecast for tomorrow morning.
Well, the market's horribly oversold. And it's been quite popular to be bearish. The commodity funds have been liquidating, full throttle for the last 60 days. We've gone through harvest, and crude oil prices have dropped tremendously. The worldwide recession is scary. And we did see reports today that Saudi Arabia is definitely going to get serious about cutting oil production. We also understand that the new Russia is smart enough to know that in order to stabilize crude oil prices, they've got to join the club and cut production as well. Overnight, it was a very yesterday during the market session, every meteorologist that sells their services were predicting massive rains in Argentina and Brazil. And it turned out that the rain gauge didn't show as much rainfall as it really occurred. In other words, the rainfall was not as good. And no rain, no fertilizer means less grain. And the Argentine wheat crop is suffering from dry weather and being cut. The corn crop is being cut. They planted a lot more acres of beans down there, but they planted them late. So as a result of less rainfall, the oversold conditions, along with a nice, healthy rally in crude oil, the dollar weaker, all added up to a nice, strong market today in Chicago. They tried to sell it off several times, and it did close better.
Tell me about the WASDE report tomorrow morning.
Well, it's generally believe that, it's a common knowledge that with as many bushels of corn out in the field, we're going to see a production cut. But that doesn't show up here. It's just going to be basically the supply-demand.
Right.
And our opinion is, Informa basically says 100 million exports and 100 million ethanol. But those are the cold, hard numbers. I don't know if the government's going to come down that far. And for two reasons. The bean demand is good to excellent. And, of course, with the EPA basically ruling on a energy mandate, possibly will be required by law to increase the blends in ethanol. And, of course, that would be a big shot in the arm for an industry that is struggling right now. And hopefully it will occur and occur quickly. And, it would be a big help to help stabilize corn prices for 2009 and 10 and 11 and on down the road.
Two things. First, you are correct. No crop production reports in December. That doesn't happen. They're always updated in January, so we won't see that number, as you suggested, which might reflect corn left in the field. The second thing is, do you think that there's enough capacity to ramp up yet in the ethanol industry to meet a mandate that might be put that has been put forward?
There's a lot of probably new plants that have been mothballed. There's several new plants that are coming on stream this year. Our company has been very aggressive of spending money in that area with two new large modern dry facilities coming on board. And, I think that we have enough corn. There's no doubt about that, enough corn and enough people wanting to raise corn for next year, that I think it would all pencil out. The problem is that there are several bankrupt ethanol companies in the United States. It's unfortunate, and you know, the market does need some stability of clean, renewable energy, and in order to keep this boom-bust energy cycle from destroying the world economies, it's, I think, a step in the right direction.
What do you think needs to happen at the next OPEC meeting?
Well, I don't know whether it's what's going to happen. I think that this $40 crude oil's got their attention, and it's got Saudi Arabia's attention. It's got the Soviet, Russian attention, and probably every other major oil-producing country in the world. I think that they are going to cut production. They have to in order to stabilize things. And if it does happen, I think it will stabilize corn prices, stabilize energy prices, and at least show that they can still manage. If they can't, then there's going to be some management problems, and it will definitely hurt their economies, too.
Any final word from you for the day?
We'll have a profitable day, Todd, and we're looking forward to being on Commodity Week on Saturday.
Indeed. Thanks much.
Have a nice day.
We'll talk to you then. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
If you ever happen to miss this program, you can always listen to it on our website. The address is willag.org. And if you don't have access to the web, we'll put an abbreviated version up on the telephone system. It's easy. Just dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We update it with the analysis segments from our morning and closing market reports. And that number again is 217-333-3434. Updates are at 10:30 and 3:15 daily. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, a leasing company that provides nearly half of all the rail cars Verisun Energy Corporation uses for corn storage and ethanol transportation said in court documents filed in Verisun's bankruptcy case that the ethanol company continues to use more than 1,800 railroad cars, even though Vera has not made lease payments on the cars in the last 5 months. Philadelphia-based Trinity Industries Leasing Company has requested that Verisun either accept or reject the unpaid leases that now total several million dollars, according to court documents. Verisun has until December 22nd to file an objection on the Trinity motion, which is scheduled for a hearing on January 8th of next year. China's exports and imports shrank unexpectedly in November as the world's fourth-largest economy slowed in response to the global credit crunch. Economists had expected exports to rise 15% and imports to be up 12% compared with November of a year ago. But the data showed exports fell 2.2% from a year earlier, and imports dropped by 17.9%. China's leaders wrapped up a three-day strategy meeting on Wednesday by setting steady growth as their top objective in 2009, pledging to ramp up public spending and cut taxes. It said that leadership reaffirmed China's long-standing policy of maintaining the yuan's exchange rate basically steady at a reasonable balance level. However, the meeting agreed on the need to take measures which were not spelled out to stabilize external demand. The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee says he is determined to keep the Commodity Futures Trading Commission an independent agency under the jurisdiction of the Agriculture Committee, and that he is planning a major commodity futures regulation bill in January. Colin Peterson says if that SEC employees were in charge of agricultural commodity futures, they would not be able to handle the problem, such as this summer's lack of convergence between wheat futures prices and the sale of the grain when the futures contracts expire. Peterson also says he believes Congress will resist proposals to merge financial regulators because the Homeland Security Department, which combined divisions from several other agencies, has proven so problematic. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. One other agricultural news note for the day, this from the ASA. It's calling on the USDA investigation of the National Soybean Checkoff Program. In the best interest of U.S. soybean farmers, the Board of Directors of the American Soybean Association voted unanimously to ask the Secretary of Agriculture to order an Office of Inspector General investigation and financial audit of the National Soybean Checkoff Program. The ASA petition, filed today with Secretary of Ag Ed Schaefer and the Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, calls for an investigation of the United Soybean Board and the United Soybean Export Council to ensure that soybean checkoff dollars are being managed and invested as prescribed by law. The allegations include the improper and wasteful expenditure of both checkoff and federal funds, potential evasion of mandated salary and administrative spending caps by USB, conflicts of interest at USB, use of checkoff funds for prohibited purposes by USB, and wasteful and excessive spending by USB. There are additional allegations concerning the improper USB oversight and tolerance of actions that have taken place at the U.S. Soybean Export Council. For its part, the USB says the allegations made by the ASA against the United Soybean Board regarding mismanagement of farmer checkoff dollars are categorically untrue, and says if the U.S. Department of Agriculture deems it necessary, USB welcomes a USDA Office of Inspector General audit of any and all of its operations, contractor operations, and projects. Of course, we will keep you up to date on this story as new elements develop. Listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find daily agricultural programming that you can listen to, including this program, our weekend program. We call it Commodity Week. And the weather segments are all at willag.org. And the USDA reports are listed there as well under their own tab. They'll be updated tomorrow morning when USDA updates that next set of numbers. If you hit subscribe while you're at willag.org, you'll also find those numbers in your inbox, your email inbox, that is. If you don't like the email, you can also unsubscribe just as easily. It's over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. One other note, 217-333-3434. It's a brand new service we just started up, and we're updating the analysis segments at 10:30 and 3:15 daily. That's a.m. and p.m. Central Time. If you happen to miss this program on the radio or can't get to your computer to listen to it or hear it as a podcast, you can do it right off your telephone, the number 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain and from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Matt Kunisch joins us. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good Good afternoon.
Hey, you know, I think the last time that you were here, I actually called you by the other Matt's name because I just didn't know that Matt Blaisdell wasn't on the line with me. Is that right?
That's great. That's okay. It's not a big deal. Everybody does it.
Now, I hear that he's out gambling today.
Yes, he is. Hopefully, he's doing good.
Mr. Blaisdell. Well, we'll see how he does when we talk to him again next week. Tell me about movement in your area at this time.
Movement in our area today was on a major uptick, buying quite a bit today. Base is still improving. Climbers, we are currently 6 under. You go down to Delphi, we're 14 under. And beans are currently on the uptick also. However, they seem to have reached a plateau for this point in time. Cash prices here at Climbers at 336, 328 in Delphi, and cash beans at 814. Movement today, however, with the markets being up 14 and up 16, saw roughly 1.5 million corn move today alone. So that was a nice surprise today. Guys are starting to come off their corn a little bit, wanting to get some stuff done before the cold weather hits.
Before the cold weather hits, tax season, other reasons they might be doing it?
Definitely not the tax reasons. Everybody's putting their money into hold pay. They do not want it until next year because of the good year last year, and they definitely want to save some back for this next crop year. So definitely not because of the tax reasons, just corn in the bins, more quality issues than anything.
Okay, and then your expectation is for that to tail off quickly?
Right now, I would expect it to a little bit. Depends on the markets, really. If we get another uptick and get above the 350 mark, I do feel that we will buy quite a bit more. There are still quite a bit left to buy for us in the next coming months. A lot of guys still have that $4 corn in their mind that they would really like to hit. I think they're coming to the realization where they will start to move between 350 and 4, though.
Tomorrow, USDA will release some ending stocks numbers. Do you figure they'll move around much because of corn that's left standing in the field at this point? And because ethanol usage may or may not be down, you'll have to tell me what you think on that one. And exports are potentially off?
I believe so. I believe they will be slightly larger. I don't think there's going to be a big surprise tomorrow. The ethanol, definite slowdown. I mean, I don't think it is a huge number that's going to alarm anybody, but it is out there. Some plants are still running 100%. There are plants out there running 60% just because of margins right now. I'm really not looking for a huge surprise, but I would look for a downtick tomorrow because of that report.
And then finally, do you think that the health of the ethanol industry can return fairly quickly, or is it going to be a long climb over the next several years?
You know, I don't know about years. I do think you're going to have to get the crude oil back into the $70, $80 range for multiple months before the demand starts to come back. Right now, it is not there. I don't see it within the next 6 months, but I don't believe it'll take years also. Maybe 1 to 2, I would believe.
Matt, thanks for your time today.
No problem.
Matt Kunisch is with the Andersons. He's at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, filling in today for our regular Wednesday afternoon analyst, Matt Blaisdell of that same facility. Our thanks to Mr. Kunisch for joining us here on a Wednesday afternoon. In just 2 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will tell us all about the agricultural weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and the rest of the weekend, and a bit of the next week as well. Stay with us. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Lager Day. Lager yeast seems to have emerged during the Roman Empire, and its production faced almost immediate opposition from established brewers and the Roman Catholic Church. Private lager brewers were required to produce their beer outside city walls. On this day in agricultural history in 1864, Henry Rowell Schoolcraft died, an American explorer. He is noted for his discovery of the source of the Mississippi River in a lake in northern Minnesota, which he named Lake Itasca. Schoolcraft published an account of the journey in a narrative journal of travels through the northwestern regions to the sources of the Mississippi River. In 1855, Henry Ridley was born. An English botanist, He was largely responsible for establishing the rubber industry. His experiments convinced him of the enormous economic potential of rubber as a plantation crop. His principal contribution was to develop what is still today the basic method for tapping the tree, the removal at each tapping of a thin layer of bark from the end cut, thus permitting a smooth flow of latex and allowing the bark to regenerate. And in 1877, Dr. Jared Kirtland died. A physician, naturalist, botanist, and teacher, he is credited with developing 26 varieties of cherries and 6 varieties of pears. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report, I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Joining us for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, a little sunshine. It's not quite above freezing, but, well, we'll get there eventually this week, I think.
We will. Actually, a warmer than usual temperature bias is expected to evolve over the next couple of days. This little shot of cold air that brought on some of the rain and snow the past couple of days is really a temporary situation. We will find that a warming trend will begin out there in the plains already tomorrow and will work its way across the Midwest as we go Thursday into the weekend. The eastern portions of the Midwest will probably see temperatures considerably above average for a 2 or 3 day period, but the northwestern part of the region, well, it looks like a pretty nasty cold air mass is headed southward out of western portions of Canada. And we're going to watch that cold air mass real closely right now because we have no snow on the ground in Montana wheat country. There's also very little snow on the ground in northwestern hard red wheat areas in the plains. And both areas have potential for some snow as the coldest air comes on, which is expected, by the way, to be late in the weekend and early next week. Temperatures are expected to drop well below zero across the northern half of the plains. Probably reach into the northern fringes of hard red wheat country, but more significantly, it'll be in Montana. We do expect a significant amount of snow to occur up in that region. No, that's a long ways away from home here. But it does look like some of this cold air will work its way in our direction as we go into midweek next week. And so we'll have a nice little warm period here for Thursday into the weekend, and then we'll turn around and bring back another round of cold air to the region, probably as early as Sunday into Monday, and certainly by Tuesday everybody will be in the chill again. And we're probably going to see a fairly decent amount of snowfall come ahead of that surge of cold air. It's all going to depend on how intense the cold is. But this air mass looks pretty potent, and we want to watch it pretty closely. I am not expecting to see any crop damage at this point because I do assume that it will snow significantly before it gets coldest.
We heard about this, I think, just a slight bit yesterday. Is this the one that's coming out of Siberia at some point?
Actually, it is a part of that that cold air mass. There was a very impressive cold surge that occurred over Siberia earlier this week that worked its way into northeastern China. And, that cold air is working its way around the hemisphere again and will be headed for Alaska and northwestern Canada. And, yes, indeed, it will be the air mass that eventually hits the northwestern U.S. and probably into the Midwest as well. But it will be a week or so before we get into that.
Just enough time to tell me about the southern hemisphere.
And the situation in South America right now is certainly very tenuous as far as Argentina is concerned. This week's rainfall has not been very significant. A large part of that country is still quite dry. We've had some scattered showers, but it has not been enough to counter evaporation, and we're going to be in another week's worth of mostly dry conditions. There'll be a few showers around, but they won't be able to counter 80 and some 90-degree temperatures. So Argentina is high on the list of areas to be worried about for production potentials. There is some rain in the forecast for their second week of the two-week outlook. And for Brazil, it's been very dry in the south over the past 2 weeks. They are getting some rain now, although it is very erratic, and some pockets of dryness are going to prevail for a while longer, so we'll need to watch that area as well.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that's this Wednesday edition of the Closing Mark Report. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.